Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Get 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then get one-pound packages of flavorful 80% lean Angus ground beef chuck for $3.99 each, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This episode of Writing Excuses has been brought to you by our listeners, patrons, and friends. If you would like to learn how to support this podcast, visit www.patreon.com/writingexcuses.
Season 17,
Episode 26.
This is Writing Excuses, hanging separately.
15 minutes long.
Because you're in a hurry.
And we should be hanging together.
I'm Dan.
I'm Zoraida.
I'm Kayla.
I'm Howard, and I'm stealing the thunder of our whole title. Sorry, Dan.
Aw.
Who was it who said that?
That was Benjamin Franklin.
If we don't
hang
together,
when they were
plotting
their revolution, if we do not hang together, we shall all hang separately, or some variation of that. And so we want to talk about this time the pitfalls of an ensemble. If the ensemble fails, if the characters don't mesh, there's lots of different ways this can go wrong. We're going to talk about it. So let's start with that first. What are some ways that an ensemble can go wrong?
Well, and I want to clarify here that we're not talking about the pros and cons, you know, the cons of an ensemble. We've already established that you're going to try and write an ensemble. What are the common mistakes? What are the disasters? What are the failure points? And for me, the most common failure point is when we wait too long to bring them together or to bring them back together.
Right.
Yeah.
I have some examples.
Okay, let's hear.
One example to me, which is, I guess this teeters on the success failure rate for me. I think that The Defenders was a great show in the second half of the show, but as an ensemble, it failed to the adhesion of the characters waited too long. And yep. if I hadn't gotten too deep enough into episode 4, which I think is too late, I would have turned it off.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I do think that there is room in the world for slow burn stories about teams coming together. Season 1 of Heroes did the same thing. But a lot of it comes down to promise. Heroes promised, mm-hmm. look, people all over the world are suddenly developing powers for no reason. And over the course of the season, we're going to very slowly watch them begin to come together. The Defenders promised us, hey, all these other shows you love, this is the show where they team up. And then it didn't give us that for way too long. And yeah. so it felt like a breach of promise.
One of the things, and this isn't necessarily an apologist approach to the Defenders, but one of the things that made Daredevil so strong in its first season was that the four-act format of TV with commercial breaks wasn't being adhered to. And so the flow of the show was much different. They conversations went on longer than they would have in broadcast TV, you know, had this been something that had commercials in it. And so I feel like they leaned into that when they built the Defenders and shouldn't have. We needed to put people together sooner. Mm-hmm. But talking about the promise, the first Suicide Squad movie, the trailers promised me witty banter and antics. And what I got was a depressing movie about criminals with bombs in their heads.
And there's room in the world for depressing stories about criminals with bombs in their heads. But that's right. not what anybody wanted or thought they were getting from that particular story.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So what are some other ways? What are some other examples of ensembles that ensemble stories that failed in some way?
Kayla, you were starting to talk.
Yeah.
I was she going just doesn't want to go on public sorry. Record. Bashing somebody's art.
Well,
hey,
yeah.
Look, I went on the record saying that I loved the Hobbit movies, so nobody's going to hate you more
I
than they hate me.
Too.
I like really a lot do. About them, but at the same time.
Look, I honestly, I feel like I'm most creators' ideal target because I really just want to be entertained, right? Like, I will have a good time almost anywhere, right? And I enjoy so much that I feel like my friends who have, in their opinions, more discerning tastes. So when something like lets me down, I feel really like passionate about it. I actually watched, Ocean's 8. And I think that like, as an ensemble cast, I wasn't invested in them at all. Like, I think it's like a powerhouse actresses. And then there was like, it's like, there was the tension that was there. There was no cohesion. And I think that when you don't have that bond between all of your ensembles, and it just feels like there's just somebody there doing a job as opposed to the, like we said in previous episodes, we're all in this together.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I was going to say, I think that the big draw of an ensemble story is the bond between the characters and how their bond affects the plot and how they have to come together in different ways in order to accomplish the thing that needs to be accomplished. So mm-hmm. when you have characters who like don't care about each other particularly or don't get to a place where they care about each other, that's a big letdown. If you have characters who you're like, I literally don't even know why you're here. You know, like they just yeah. showed up in your house and you're like, why are you here? Get out, please. You know, except it's the movie or it's the book. Like, I think that's
I'm a drummer and you have a couch.
Yeah, exactly. You're like, what? It's just, why are you here, ma'am? You know, like the, anything that does that one, it throws you out of the story, of course, like most flaws like will in a story, but two, like those are the things like in an ensemble, everything gets compounded when you make mistakes in characterization or in the way that the characters affect the plot, because it will like keep pinging around all of the other characters in the ensemble. It would be a domino effect of like one character here doesn't have their motivation figured out and we don't know why they're here. And then everyone interacting with them either has to address that as like an actual character point, or it gets confusing why these other capable characters aren't addressing that and why like all of their decision-making processes get affected by this person who you're like, why are you here though?
I'm trying to create a dichotomy here. And this is This might just be the medication talking, but you're familiar with the phrase surprising yet inevitable.
Yes.
When you write surprising yet inevitable, if you fail at inevitable, you've got deus ex machina and we hate you. If you fail at surprising, we might just feel smarter than you. And that's actually not a bad thing if I've bought the book. And so I lean toward, if I'm going to fail at surprising yet inevitable, I want to fail on the surprise. I don't want to fail on the inevitability. Mm. And the dichotomy I'm reaching for is, what are the poles, you know, surprising on one pole, inevitable on the other pole. What are the poles for an ensemble? Like we hate each other, but we're a family or something. And you, if you have to pick which one to fail at, which one do you pick? Which one is worse? And I feel like, you know, if there's that thing where, you know, we argue with each other, but we are a family, boy, howdy, let's err on the side of we're a family and make the arguments feel a little shallow rather than making the arguments feel just unovercomable. Oh, man, there's just not enough medication in the world for me to parse all these thoughts at once. I don't want to fail on that because at the end, I don't have an ensemble. I have a group of angry people who all got to be in a book together.
Yeah. Like a stressful Thanksgiving for everyone.
We're going to pause here. And
hey, writers, are you thinking about learning a new language? I think exploring the world, experiencing other cultures, and being able to communicate with people outside your everyday experience lets you create richer, better stories. A great way to do that is with Rosetta Stone, a trusted expert for over 30 years with millions of users and 25 languages offered. They use an immersive technique, which leads to fast language acquisition. It's an intuitive process that helps you really learn to speak, listen, and most of all, think in the language you're trying to learn. They also feature true accent speech recognition technology that gives you feedback on your pronunciation. It's like having a voice coach in your home. Learn at home or on the go with a desktop and mobile app that let you download and access lessons even when you're offline. And it's an amazing value. A lifetime membership gives you access to all 25 languages, including Spanish, French, Italian, German, Japanese, and, of course, Korean. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, Writing Excuses listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/today. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/today.
This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. Making your mental health a priority is always a challenge. And I think it's easy to not prioritize it, especially when you're trying to figure out how to write a book. I think we have some deep cultural idea that artists should be tortured and depressed to make their best work. But in my experience, struggling to find clarity and motivation will hurt your process a lot more than help it. In my own life, therapy has been essential to figuring out how to navigate an industry seemingly designed to give all of us anxiety. Being able to talk to an expert can help you set better boundaries, find a balance between the demands of your work and your art, and navigate the complexities of being a published writer. That said, finding a therapist is never easy, especially if you're not in a major city like I am. That's where a service like BetterHelp can be of use to help you start the process while you figure out what your needs are for your mental health journey. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist. Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/WX today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P, .com/WX.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Get 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then get 1-pound packages of flavorful 80% lean Angus ground beef chuck for $3.99 each, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Talk about an ensemble that absolutely worked and did not fail, The Expanse.
Oh my goodness. Which one of us was going to pitch that?
Well, yeah,
I'm talking
to Rita or yeah. you.
You do it either. Hey,
I love the adaptation of The Expanse. It's its own masterclass in, you know, transmedia, you know, translation from book to show.
Yes.
But just as a show, the building of the ensemble, the setting up of the promises, the characterization, it is brilliant and beautiful, and I love it. And I've watched it end to end, you know, all the seasons probably three times, but like the first four seasons, because they're older, I think I may have gone through those eight times, just turning it on while I did other things, because I love the way those characters interact. And they are in such horrible trouble so much of the time, and they have so many reasons to fight with one another, and yet they are a found family and they love each other, even their sociopath Amos.
Yes. Oh my god, Amos forever. I chose the Expanse 2 because I started reading the book, and the book is one of the best openings that I've read in a very long time. And I'm 10 years late to this book. Like, I started it a month ago. So, you know, it's for writers who are like worried that their work will never find a reader. Like, I'm 10 years late to this series. Okay. And one of the things that I found while switching over to watch the TV show was that everybody has their own clear motivation and reasons to stay together. And I think that when a book doesn't give me that, and it's all subjective, because I've read books that are ensemble casts that people love, and I'm just like, I don't get it. But it really is so tightly woven that I feel like I'm going to have to go and watch it eight more times like Howard.
So that is The Expanse TV show. That's our thing of the week. And it's also a book series, starting with Leviathan Wakes by James S.A. Corey. So go
real quick.
Yes.
Let me just say that the books, the series ended where the books took a big time jump forward, and the ensemble would have had to change. For one thing, we'd have to age all the actors up. And so the fact that there isn't an Expanse season that takes us all the way through to the end of the whole proto-molecule, you know, galaxy spanning, whatever story, is nicely illustrative of the understanding that people are watching this, even if they don't know it, they're watching it for the ensemble. And if we break the ensemble in order to push through into the big galactic story, people will be disappointed. The books can do it. It's really hard to keep that audience on TV, though.
Yeah, I will say as a closing note, if you are interested, Howard and I did an episode a few years ago with Daniel Abraham and Ty Frank, who are the authors that make up James S.A. Corey. They wrote the books, and they are the showrunners for the TV show. And so look back through the Writing Excuses archive, and you can hear a lot more about how they did that.
This is me discovering that they are two people.
Yeah, James S.A. Corey is a pseudonym for Daniel Abraham and Ty Frank.
Incredible.
But let's talk about some more. While Kayla was talking earlier, a really cool example of a failed and then repaired ensemble came to mind, which is the TV show Parks and Recreation. And in the first season and a half, they had Mark. And Mark was kind of intended to be, when that show first started, it was basically The Office, but redone with a government office instead of a corporate office. And Mark was supposed to be the sardonic everyman. He was the Jim of the cast. And then over time, as they refined their show, as they changed the focus, it stopped being a show about look at all these losers in their terrible job. And it started to be, hey, look at these good people who are trying their best in a crazy system that they have to work within. And once that focus changed, then Mark, the sardonic everyman, absolutely did not fit in the ensemble anymore, because his job, his archetype, so to speak, was to make fun of everybody else. But we liked everybody else. It was not the office that was full of misfits and losers anymore. It was full of people we genuinely loved. And so he did not fit. And they wrote him out of the show completely because he was a failed part of that ensemble. They brought in instead two other characters, Adam Scott and Rob Lowe, whatever their characters are named, I don't remember. And they fit better because they were part of the, you know, we're kind of strange people, but we love our jobs, which the ensemble had morphed into. And so identifying why the ensemble doesn't work, maybe it's just one character and you can tweak that character or change them completely, and then everything suddenly gels.
Mm-hmm.
So what are some other ways to fix an ensemble? If an ensemble is broken, what are some things people can look at to help identify the problem and then fix it?
There's a principle here that I learned when I was drawing a Munchkin deck, and that is that the customer always knows when there's a problem, but never knows what the actual problem is.
Yeah.
Learning to listen to your alpha readers or your beta readers, you know, and when they say, oh, the story's not working for me, I hate this one character. Does that mean that the character needs to be cut? Does that mean that the character needs to be made likable? Or does that mean that they need someone in the story to agree with them that this character is being a jerk so they can feel vindicated in not liking this character and be okay to move on? It is really tricky to understand that. But for me, the key piece of the toolbox is having a beta reader or an alpha reader who has been well enough trained to be able to say, rather than, I think you should get rid of this character, to say, I don't like what this character is doing. I don't feel like these two people would be friends. I don't think that their plan is the smart one, and I don't like reading about stupid people. You know, whatever. You get them to say what it is that they are feeling, so that I can step back and troubleshoot it and find the core of the problem.
Mm-hmm. Agree.
I think
this,
that
yes, this makes it extremely difficult to troubleshoot books that you're writing just on your own. I am exceedingly fortunate in that I have a couple of alpha readers, Sandra Taylor and Bob Defendi, who I know how their opinions work. I know, and they know how writing works, and that's awesome. And they know how to tell me things in a way that I know what to fix.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Let's jump to our homework now. Zoraida, you have our homework.
We have our homework. I would like you to pick an ensemble story that you think failed and explain how you would have fixed it.
There you go. This is Writing Excuses. You are out of excuses. Now go write.
Ahoy! Have you checked out the Writing Excuses 2022 cruise yet? We've got all the details about guests, dates, and destinations at writingexcusesretreat.com. This will be the 10th workshop we've done, and we'd love to have you join us.
Writing Excuses is a Dragonsteel production, jointly hosted by Brandon Sanderson, Dan Wells, Mary Robinette Kowal, and Howard Taylor. This episode was mastered by Alex Jackson.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.